Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, August 12th, 2015. John Henry Heckendorn, what have we been listening to this morning? What is this song?
That was Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, and you can hear that tonight at Ernie's Bar if you come out to karaoke, because that's my favorite karaoke song.
So, John Henry Heckendorn, you are a Sitka fellow who is in residence at the Island Institute this summer, and why is this song so significant to you? When I asked you, let's kick off the morning with a song, a tune. When in your life have you been listening to this song?
Well, it really is just my favorite karaoke song, but as was pointed out in the studio earlier, it does kind of connect to what I do professionally, because it's a song about being born to run, and I work on political campaigns in which sometimes the candidates think they were born to run. Sometimes they just end up running without meaning to in the first place, or without having thought for their whole career that that's what they wanted to do. But I guess you can connect it to elections.
Yeah. How did you get involved in politics? How did you get bitten by the bug?
So I graduated from college 3 years ago, and I'd never worked on a political campaign before and didn't have a whole lot of interest in doing that. But I got offered a job as a campaign manager for someone who went to my college about 20 years before I did, who was from Alaska and who was running for state house in Anchorage.
And who is that?
His name is Andy Josephson, and he's in the state legislature now. But yeah, he offered me the job, and going to Alaska for 6 months sounded like an adventure. And so I decided to take the job, but didn't think I was going to stick around in Alaska and didn't think I was going to keep working on political campaigns.
Yeah, so the campaign was successful, it sounds like. And he was a bit of an underdog too, right?
Yeah, so it was a pro-Republican. There were more Republicans in the district than Democrats. Andy was running as a Democrat, and he'd never run for office before. But we worked really hard. We made some mistakes, but we were lucky enough to win in the end. And I grew up playing sports my whole life and really enjoyed having my first job be something that you could win. It's kind of the best performance evaluation in the world, right? It's up or down, win or lose.
What kinds of sports do you play, and what kinds of parallels aside from winning? Were you tactical about your work, or was it something that was actually really new to you? You kind of had to learn and make everything up as you went along, kind of.
Yeah, so I've played soccer, basketball, rugby, volleyball. Doesn't really matter. I just enjoy playing sports. But I think the parallels to working on campaigns, there are really three. One is that the work on a campaign is always varied, so you don't come to the office and sit down and do exactly what you did the day before. That basically never happens. You're always putting out a new fire, addressing some new crisis or problem, and that's challenging and it's exciting. I also really enjoyed the chance to work with people, and on a campaign, particularly a local campaign, you never have enough time to do all the work yourself. So it's really important that you build a network of people who can come alongside and help you, either from organizations that are involved politically or even just volunteers in the community. And that's something I really enjoy, and I think that relates to sports, because it's about building your team, even if you can't pay all of them. So you have to kind of inspire them to do the work for you or alongside you. And then I do enjoy the strategic component. So you lay out your plan, and more often than not, a successful campaign is about sticking to your plan, even when challenges come up along the way and things come up that would distract you or make you want to suddenly panic and do something different.
What did you learn in managing this campaign that is informing your work with the Sitka Fellows now?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is enjoying or really trusting in the plan that you set out back in the beginning. So I started this project, or started the fellowship, 4 weeks ago with a pretty clear project in mind. And I think it's important to be able to change your project as you get more information or see new opportunities.
Yeah.
But I think it's really critical to lay out a plan and trust the plan that you laid out when you had more time and patience. And I think that's what this fellowship has been all about for me, is taking this time, this 6 or 7 weeks before all the craziness starts next year when we get into another election cycle, to lay out a really clear long-term strategy, something that I can stick to when we're in the heat of the battle.
So speaking of that plan, what is your project with the Sitka Fellows program?
So basically I'm building the business plan and the cost revenue analysis and the basic procedural documents for a communications consulting business that I started with two friends at the beginning of this year.
What's it called?
It's called the Ship Creek Group. We're based out of Anchorage. We also have an office in Juneau. So about half of my project is related to getting that business organized and ready to be taken to the next level. And this, the other half of my project is laying out the projects that we want to work on next year, including some political projects.
Okay. In your bio on the Island Institute, you talk quite a bit about post-partisan politics and partisanship in Alaska. And I'm curious how if that's still a theme in your work and what you make of partisanship.
Yeah, absolutely. So in 2013, The Atlantic magazine published a report about what Americans were most frustrated by in their political system. And it wasn't ISIS or foreign policy. It wasn't domestic conflicts or the economy. It was hyper-partisanship at the national level. And that really turns Americans off. And I think it's related to the fact that you see voter turnout rates dropping across the country. The interesting thing about Alaska is that we have one of the highest rates of nonpartisan voter registration of any state in the U.S. And I think if you take that information and also the fact that Alaskans have a history of getting excited about unconventional political models, if you all go all the way back to Wally Hickel, when he jumped into the race on the Alaska Independence Party ticket and ended up winning. Lisa Murkowski's write-in campaign in 2010. Alaskans are uniquely disposed to getting excited about new ways of thinking about politics. And I think, I'm not naive, I don't think you're ever going to get rid of partisanship or political parties, but I do think Alaska could start to set the tone for the rest of the country and be a role model for a less partisan, more collaborative political structure.
Mm. Is there anything about Alaskan politics? So you've spelled out what makes it pretty unique. Is there anything that makes it typical?
Typical to like a more national campaign?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I get asked that question a lot, how Alaska compares to national politics. And I don't really know the answer because unlike a lot of people who work on campaigns, I'm not a national campaign specialist. I'm really just someone who's worked on Alaska campaigns. And I'm not even sure I'd like working on national campaigns. Like I said before, one of the things I really appreciate about Alaska campaigns is how personal they are. So an Alaska State House district is 17,000 people, typically. Maybe 11 or 12,000 of those are registered to vote. And then maybe only 6 to 8,000 of those people are likely to vote. That's a tiny fraction of how big those districts are in places like California and New York. So in California and New York, you see really corporate, kind of professional, money-driven campaigns. In Alaska, you get these weirdly personal campaigns where the candidate, if they had the time and the energy, literally could knock on every door of the voters in their district multiple times. Hmm. So you get all kinds of goofy personal interactions between the candidate and the voters. And by the end of the election, the voters can really feel like they had a chance to get to know the candidate. And I really like that aspect of Alaska politics.
You are going to get to know some more people in Sitka tomorrow, one-on-one. You are going to lead a discussion at Fraser Hall at 7 o'clock. What is that discussion all about? And why did you choose that as your topic from among the many things you know about and have experienced in your post-grad career?
Yeah, well, one of the things those of us who've worked on campaigns in Alaska really enjoy is going back and watching all of the old campaign videos from previous election cycles. Alaska, fortunately or unfortunately, has a history both of some really bad campaign commercials, especially at the local level where there's not as much money or resources to vet the commercial before you broadcast it. And also some really goofy off-the-wall commercials. There's one that I'll show tomorrow where the candidate is riding around the district on a Segway and knocking on doors that way. And at one point she challenges a biker who's very clearly like a heavily tatted dude with sunglasses and leather jacket to a race. And I mean, it's just a weird commercial. So basically tomorrow we're going to go through a blooper reel of some of Alaska's best and or worst, depending on how you react, campaign commercials, and then use that funny experience as the jumping off point for a discussion about how we as citizens, as the target of political ads and political messaging, relate to and respond to those kind of ads and what we'd like to see different in future elections.
Okay. I have one last question for you, which is, what is your ultimate goal with Alaskan politics? It sounds like you're here for a while. You're, you know, starting a company, a consulting firm in Anchorage. So what do you ultimately want to see? What would be the best end game?
Well, personally, I'm really excited about the opportunity to build a business, build a small team of people I enjoy working with.
I mean, for Alaska, though.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, there is a personal component to this, but I think on the macro level, I really do think that Alaska has the opportunity to not be known around the country for being reality TV, Sarah Palin style politics. And that's probably how our reputation is right now. I think we have a chance to be, like I said before, a role model for DC, a place where we have competent leaders who are willing to collaborate and willing to prioritize local issues over some national agenda and get things done. And I think if we can do that, the rest of the country will start to notice.
Okay. John Henry Hackendorn, thank you so much for coming in. And we have one last surprise guest, as always, the Sicca Fellows coordinator, Solomon Enlick, is in the studio. And Solomon, you had one thing to add. The fellowship is not winding down, but it's winding to be winding down. So what is the big ending event that people in the community can attend?
So the structure of the Sitka Fellows program, it includes workshops every week for each fellow, but it also includes an open studio events towards the end of the fellowship where the community can sort of come in and we can have a larger discussion with all of the fellows. People can sort of see not exactly their work in progress, but view their process. And it's another opportunity for us to interact with the community. It's on the 22nd, Saturday the 22nd. We're still figuring out exact logistical details, so please stay tuned for, you know, which building it's going to be, but it presumably will be on the SJ campus and probably a time after work. So Great. Let's say 5-7, something like that.
Great. Thank you so much, Solomon, and thank you so much, John Henry. Have a great day.
Thanks.